Kof Aleph Shavat, Kof Beis Shavat, Monday the 1st of February, Rabbi Emmanuel Dinan, Cholov Akum, Part 2.
Good morning, my name is Rabbi Sai, Cholov Akum, Part 2. What is necessary, you can listen to to part one on the start of the day website. You can download it. But in order to finish off and just to wrap up a bit of Halacha Lemaise, we'll have to do a 5-minute recap of what we've learned in part one. There are sheets, there are handouts on the Bima. There should be enough handouts for everybody. And so I'm going to do a very brief chazora session for the first 5 minutes, hopefully no more, over what we've learnt in part one, and that will enable us to move on to part two, and with a few interesting new ideas about Cholov Akum. So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei Amud Bei says Ve'elu Dvarim She'al Ovdei Kechovim Ve'ein Isura Nisura Ano. The following are a list of things which belong to a guy, a non-Jew, but nevertheless they're not also ba'ana, and one of them is chelav shechol ba'ibik kachavi ve'en Yisrael ro'ehu. The issue of chol of akum, when a non-Jew milked the cow and Israel is not watching. And the Gemara says the reason why is it can't be because he swapped chol of tome for chol of tohor, because chol of tome is yellow and chol of tohor is white, so therefore you can tell that it's not kosher. So the answer is because he mixes chol of tome together with the chol of tohor, and then he can get away with it, because since the majority is white, then it will still retain its color, despite the fact that some of the cholov is tummy. And then the Gemara asks, okay, if that's true, then we can do a test. Does anybody remember the test that we can do to the milk to verify that it's cholov tummy? Taste. It's just, why can't you give it to a goy to taste? Why can't you, So it seems to be that, first of all, you need shishim, even if you haven't got a taste. There's machlekes where the chol of tome and chol of toer is min b'minoy, or min b'shein minoy. You know, min b'minoy means it's the same. Does it taste the same or does it taste different? If it tastes the same, then min ha-toeret boter b'roy, all you need is just the majority. You don't need shishim. Yeah, only midravoni needs shishim. If it's min b'she'enoi minoi, if there's different tastes, and there seems to be a machlekes apoiskim in that, and I don't know why we can't ask non-Jews this question, does it taste similar or similar enough? I suppose it's the same, there's the same similar machlekes with all fish. Are all fish, regardless of what they are, octopuses, all fish, are they all? They all have a fishy taste. Is that called min b'minoy or min b'shein min? It's a big machlek, is that? So the chashash is cholav tomei. If it's min b'minoy, then obviously it doesn't help you to ask somebody to taste it, because it's all the same taste anyway. If it's min b'shein minoy, then the reason why you can't ask a non-Jew to taste it, because this is something fixed. Right? If milk fell into your pot by accident, or something, a nevela fell into your pot by accident, then you're allowed mi'ikardin, midina gemara, you can ask a non-Jew, do you taste the issel? But here, where every time cholov, you've got that suspicion, that's simply not an option to every time go to a non-Jew and say, hey, do you taste any cholov tummy there? Right, so then the gemara says you can do a test, and that is, turn it into cheese. Why? Because cholov tome cannot turn into cheese. So the Gemara says, two tirutim. First of all, number one is, yes, if you turn it into cheese, you can have the cheese. Right? That's the first teretz of the Gemara. But we're passing that. The second teretz of the Gemara is that you cannot turn it into cheese because you have little holes, little pockets, where, although it's true that cholov tome cannot turn cheesy, cannot solidify, but nevertheless you can have remnants of Chol of Tomei Bein Haguma, it's Bein Atvi, inside the pocket. So you know, like you have that holy cheese. Yeah, so in that. Now, I've yet to see hard cheese with any remnants of liquid. Do you ever see? But that's. Has anybody ever seen that? I've never seen like any liquidy part in hard cheese. Sorry?
That's because you haven't got non kosher milk in your cheese. You wouldn't have got kosher cheese. Sorry.
No. Okay, I can't go through this. So the Gemara says in that Torah that not all the milk, when you make milk into cheese, not the whole milk turns into cheese. Some of it, the whey, it gets left behind. And the Chol of Tomei, together with a bit of Chol of Tomei, which left behind, that can get into the Gumus. So that's interesting, right? So that's the Gemara of Chol of Akum. Why am I mentioning this Gemara? Because the Gemara says clearly what we want from this Gemara is one point, which is Megia Lamaisi. The Gemara says clearly that you can do a test to verify whether the ingredients of this cheese is osur or mutar, right? The Gemara says yes, chalav is osur, but let's put some rennet in it, turn it into cheese, and we'll verify whether there's chalav tomei or not, right? In other words, and the Gemara says no, it's not a good enough test because they won't verify there's no chalav tomei because you still can have some a bit chalav tomei inside the pockets or inside the cheese, right? We're going to see cheese, Gvinas Akum, is a separate Gzeira, right? And Gvinas Akum, the cheese belonging made by a non-Jew, is also forbidden. And the Gemara gives five reasons. Number one, interesting, the Gemara says about cheese, the Mishnah didn't want to reveal the reason until a year later. Because every Gzeira Tachomim, Chazal don't say the reason until it's established. Once it's established, then they feel it's safe enough to give over the reason. And the Gemara gives five reasons why cholov akum, cheese is osu. Number one is because of that when you make it into cheese, then the cholov tomei, according to Rashi, it's similar to what we've just learned now. You turn the cholov into cheese, and nevertheless, even though cholov tomei does not solidify and turn into cheese, nevertheless you can still have pockets of tomei milk inside the cheese, and that's why cheese is also. That's reason number one. Reason number two, it's brought down in number five. Beis mivneshim armidin ba'arkei vasnevela. It was a regular thing to use the rennet, which they used, was from the stomach of a nevela. Therefore, since the nevela is being used to be mamid, so that's like nosing time. That's the equivalent of giving it a taste. Since they're using something which is osu ba'achila, the arkei vasnevela, that is why cheese is osu. And the third reason is mechlikim paneh b'shuman's chazir, as a finishing off, they used to take the cheese and swipe it, smear some pig's fat. And number four is because they use chaymet of yain, they use wine vinegar as the rennet, as the enzyme to turn the cheese. And number five is because they are marmid in Sraf Orla, right? They're marmid in Sraf Orla. They use Orla. It seems to be a young tree. The fruits of a young tree is ideal to be used as an enzyme, and therefore that those are the reasons given. Okay, number one. The Gemara's already established. The Gemara's very straightforward why Cholov is also. Now, this is a very important point to follow. The Gemara has established that Cholov Akum is not allowed to be drunk. Why? Because it might have a mixture of Cholov Tomei. And nevertheless, despite that knowledge, the Gemara, and the Gemara is very stuck, and there's a Tana in the Mishnah who doesn't understand the reason, asks, why is cheese osu? And as you can see here, it's really not so straightforward why cheese is b'chlal osu. There's four other reasons given. Yeah? What is the Gemara's problem? What is the Gemara's problem? If cholov, Rabbi said, this is simple. If cholov is also, if I'm not allowed to have milk, yeah, then what is the Gemara's question? So why is cheese also? Of course cheese is also, because it's being made for milk, which is also. Okay, straightforward question. Right, so Tosfos, so the Rishonim all ask this question. Say Tosfos, says Tosfos. Simple answer. A guy might mix cholov tomei, but he's not a fool. A guy is not a fool. Why on earth, if a guy wants to make cheese, what does he gain from mixing cholov tomei? Because as we said, cholov tomei does not turn into cheese. So he doesn't gain anything. He doesn't gain anything from, if he wants to sell you milk, then he's going to gain. Because he can sell you 1 liter of supposedly cholov tomei for the price of 90 milliliters of really cholov tomei and 10 milliliters of cholov tomei. But if he wants to make cheese, he's not going to gain anything from adding cholov tomei, because cholov tomei, Rabbi Yisrael, does not turn into cheese. That is the Gemara's problem. That's why the Gemara says you can't, whatever reason you told me by cholov, you cannot apply that to cheese. So that's why the Gemara comes on to different reasons. In fact, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that the reason why cheese is forbidden is because of the pockets of cholov tomei, as we've mentioned. Tosfos says, mapitom. Of course there's no chashash of cholov tomei in cheese. Why? Because since the guy is milking the cheese, for the milking the cow for the purpose of cheese, yeah, therefore there's no reason at all that he should add cholov tomei to it. Therefore Tosfos says that there's actually no chashash of cholov tomei at all in cheese. There's only a chashash of gilui. Of gilui. Gilui means, yeah, the mashkin have been opened, and there's a chashash that they've been a snake or poisonous snake has tampered with them, has drunk from it, and that's why it is forbidden. Tosfos holds, halacha lemaisi, Tosfos holds, therefore today, yeah, Tosfos, this is the Nitzchitos, cheese is mutter. Because why? He says, we paskin like this first reason, that the reason why cheese is also is because of the milk inside the pockets. But says Tosfos, but it's not a chashash of cholov tomei, as we said, because there's no reason why there should be cholov tomei if he's making cheese. So there's only a problem of the cholov, which is gilui, right? The cholov, the liquidy, which was, today we don't have gilui, as you know, right? Nishtanu atevim. And that's why we pass on Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, if we have a wine which was open, or water which is open, we still drink it. We don't have gilui because nechoshim are not mitzuyim. Therefore, Tosfos paskens halacha lemaisa, you can have gvinois akum today. Yeah, sorry. Ah, so Tosfos says because there's five different reasons. Yeah, we don't paskin like that reason. We don't paskin like that reason that use Arkevas Nevela. There's five different reasons. Tosfos paskins like the first reason. And he says, according to the first reason, it doesn't apply. However, we paskin not like that. We paskin like the second reason. Yeah, the second reason, that since the normal ingredient that they used for making cheese was rennet, was Arkevas Nevela, right, base, number five base, therefore it's also regardless of the suspicion whether there is cholov tomei or not. Not only that, comes along the Rambam and all the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and say, even today, right, I'll read to you Shulchan Aruch Kuf Tesvav, that's where it is, even today, says the Rambam, Gvinois aibde kachovim asrum chachomim, the gvinois of non-Jews are forbidden, mipnei shema'amidin oisam ba'or keiva shchitoso. They use the stomach of their shchita, which is nevela, she nevela, and therefore that's why it's forbidden. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch from the Rambam, ve'afilu ha'amidu ba'asavim asura. Even if they used herbs or artificial rennet, it is still forbidden. Right? Because once Chazal uttered, once they have that they forbade cheese, they forbade all over, even if you know that the ingredients used to make this cheese were kosher ingredients. This guy, yeah? And that is the way we paskin. That is why cheese, yeah, is more severe than cholav akum. And you'll find even those who have cholav akum, but they rely on etain, which we're about to mention in the next few minutes, but they will not have gvina. Why? Because gvina doesn't help. And now this is why it was so imperative to understand that first piece of Gemara, which I mentioned at the beginning. Because you see there's an essential, intrinsic difference between cholov and cheese. Cholov is only also, Rabbi Yisai, when you don't know if there's cholov tome. But if you can verify that there's no cholov tome here, is the cholov mutar? Yes, right, that's clear. Again, let's go from the proof. From the Gemara's question, let's do a test. Yeah? Let's do a test and turn it into cheese. And from the Gemara's question, why is cheese also? The Gemara asks, why is cheese? What do you mean? Why is cheese also? It's made from challah. The answer is, no, I don't care that it's made from challah. Yes, that challah was once upon a time also. I now turn it into cheese. It's not a problem. Or, as we said, since I know that this challah is being used for cheese manufacturing, therefore there's no reason why the non-Jew had added cholov tomi into it, and therefore the cheese should be mutar, right? So the Gemara has to come on to other reasons. However, so therefore cholov akum is only also, it's not an outright xera like we saw by cheese. Cheese, I know they use artificial rennet, nevertheless that's also. Why? Because in the days of Chazal, the normal way to produce cheese was with arkevas nevela. Right? Therefore, it's completely awesome. Masha Enkein, Cholov is only awesome because of suffix. So, with that, we can now move on to what the Poiskim have done. Let's go with question number one. Right? Question number one, the halacha is that do you need a Jew to watch the non-Jew? Do you need him to be seeing the Khalifa the whole time? So let's say the Khalifa, the milking process takes 45 minutes. Does he have to watch the whole time, ensuring that his eyes have not... No, he does not have to watch the whole time. In fact, the halacha is, even if he didn't see anything, it's okay. Yeah, the Gemara says, why? Because there's a problem, there's two Mishnayas, which one of them seems to be redundant. The first Mishnah says, which we quoted, Cholav shechal v'oivik ha'chavim v'ein Yisrael ro'ehu, is awesome. A cholav which was milked by a non-Jew, and Yisrael does not see it, is forbidden. The next Mishnah says, but milk which was milked by a non-Jew, and Yisrael does see, is permitted. Well, that's superfluous. Obviously, you can deduce that from the first Mishnah, that it's only also because the Israel did not see him. So obviously you can work out that if Israel did see him, despite the fact that it was milked by a non-Jew, it is permissible. So the Gemara asks, why do you need the two Mishnahs? The Gemara says, yeah, because the second Mishnah is coming to tell you, you don't need to actually see him. All he needs to do is to sit in a place, yeah, he's standing, and when he's sitting, he's covered by the wall is or the fence is blocking the view, and he can't see what's going on. He can't see at all what's going on. So on that, it helps. Why does it help? Even though he can't see anything, because although when he's sitting, he can't see the milking, but if you were to stand up, you would be able to see. So therefore, the non-Jew, even though he wasn't being watched, he's always afraid. Two, he's always afraid of being caught out, that he could be seen any time. So then when it says Yisrael ro'ehu, doesn't mean he actually has to see. He has to be in a place that a non-Jew will be afraid of him seeing. Right? That's the din of cholav, a cholav. That's the din of seeing. Right. Okay. What about that if this farmer has got cows and he's got pigs as well, or he's got camels, right? He's got cholov tomei be'edroi. Okay? What about, Rabbi Yisai, if he doesn't have any non-kosher animals in his farm? The average farm, I don't know, yeah? He doesn't have any pigs. He doesn't have any animals that will give you non-kosher milk. Do you need shmirah then? Right? So look, let's look at number six. Cholov, which is Shulchan Aruch. Cholov shechol bo eved kachomi, ve'ein Yisrael ra'ehu, osu. Shema ire bo cholov tomi. Ha'yachay le'veveis of Yisrael yoshev mibachutz. Have you got it? On the second page, number six. If a person was milking in his house, the non-Jew was milking in his house, and Yisrael is outside, im yadua she'ein lo yidova tomi be'edroi, if he knows, yeah, that the person has got no tomei be'edroi, mutar afilo eina Yisrael yochel lirois abishar shu'u choylev. Right. He's standing on the outside. Mechaba says, here, I know he's got no non-kosher animals in his farm, anywhere in the vicinity, in his farm. I'm sitting on the edge of the field. I cannot see at all what's going on. All I know is that you cannot bring Cholov Tomei into this farm because I'm by the entrance. That's okay, says the Mechaber. Even though I didn't watch any milking, why? Because I know milk, Tomei milk is not being brought in because I'm there. And in the field, I know that there's no Cholov, I know that there's no non-kosher animals. That's okay. What about if he does have a Cholov, he's got Tomei Be'edroi, then the Shulchan Aruch says, Hayolai Dova Tomei Be'edroi, if he does have a non-kosher animal, Va'Yisrael Yoshev Mibachutz, and Yisrael is sitting on the outside, Va'Oved Koychovim Choylev Letzarich Yisrael, the Jew, the non-Jew is milking, but he's milking it for the purpose to sell it to Jews. Afilu Eina Yochel Yeroizek Shu Yoshev, Im Yochel Yeroizek Shu Oymed Mutar. Even though he can't see him whilst he's milking, but because he's sitting down, but if he could see him when he's standing up, that's okay. Why? Because although he's got accessible to him, Cholov Tomei, he's afraid, as we've said. So what do we see here, Rabbi Yisai? We see here there's two darugas. If he doesn't have a Tomei Be'edroi, then I don't have to see, because what do I need to look for? I know he hasn't got Tomei. I just need to verify that he hasn't brought into the premises Cholov Tomei. So all I need to do is stand on the outside, even though I have got no clue what's going on in these, let's say, 10 acres of farmland. Because I know there's no Cholov Tomei. But if he does have Cholov Tomei, then I need to be in a place that he's scared of me. That I could see him if I need to. Okay? So Rabbi Yisai, let's go back. If you go, you're going on a holiday, and you're going to a farm where there's no non-kosher animals. There's only cows or sheep. Do you need hashgacha? Alan, come on.
Stand on the outside of the farm.
Stand on the outside. As long as at the beginning, you stand on the outside of the farm, you know there's no way of bringing it in, it's okay. But you do need hashgacha, right? That's the way we paskin. You do need hashgacha because you're choyshesh, that even though he doesn't have any non-kosher animals, he'll bring in cholov tomei. Okay. Okay, that's straightforward. This already is a machlokes. Many Rishonim already hold it's not true. If there's no Cholov Tomei Be'edroi, if he's got no non-kosher animals, they say you don't have to be choshesh that he's going to bring Cholov Tomei from somewhere else. Because if that is the chashash, they say, then what does it help me to stand now? Let's say he's going milking at 5 o'clock, Rabbi Yisai. 5 o'clock he's milking. So I don't have to stand right next to him. I just have to stand by the edge. Right? In order to make sure that when he comes in, he doesn't bring in a bucket of Cholov Tomei. He can bring it at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you choshesh that he brings Cholov Tomei, what's it going to help me being there? He could have brought it. If he really wants to do that, then he can do that whilst I'm still in my bed, take in his bucket, go back home, and then he's got his bucket. And I don't know he's got a bucket of Cholov Tomei there. That's what they done. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that at least Bishas Chaliva, you've got to be there, that Bishas Chaliva, you can't bring it from outside. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so here comes a question. What about there's no Cholov Tomei in the whole town? Right? There's no Cholov Tomei the whole time. That's number one. Number two, there is Cholov Tomei, but it's more expensive. Yeah? more expensive. So therefore it's not worth it. What's he going to gain? What's this non-Jew going to gain by adding Cholav Tomei to your Cholav Torah? It's more expensive for him. He can sell the Cholav Tomei for more money. He's going to lose if he adds this Cholav Tomei. Second of all, what about if the Cholav Tomei, this was already bought by Tashbeit, is ma'us on them, is despicable on them, because of the, not because of the taste, because of the religion. Because of the is there chashash then? So, comes along the pre-chadosh and the pre-torah. Anybody know who the pre-torah is? More commonly known, pre-torah is the Arachaim. The pre-torah on the Yeridah is the Arachaim HaKadosh. They hold, that was the problem. Even though we hold that you still need Ashgacha when, despite him not having a Cholav Tomei in his herd, but that's only because he'll bring it from the outside. Where's he going to bring it? There is no Cholav Tomei. You cannot get Cholav Tomei from this town. And the boys can say, what do you mean? Which town in the world can you not get Cholav Tomei from? You've got cats, you've got dogs, you've got other animals. What's the answer to that? Of course you're not choshesh to an animal which is bichlal not the normal way to milk it. You're certainly not choshesh to that. It's only camels and pigs and those type of animals which regilus is to milk them. It's done occasionally. That's what you're choshesh for. So therefore, that's the way the pre-chadosh and the pre-torah and many rishonim, the tashbeits, the rashbash, they all came from Algeria. And they were made... They're made that in Algeria the minag was to have the cholov of non-Jews. Why? Because the cholov tomei was, first of all, it was more expensive, and in many places it was just not available. That's why the pre-chodosh. However, the achronim say, the poskim say the minag is not like the pre-chodosh. The minag is not like the pre-chodosh. And we're choshesh even though there's no milk, because he could have got it from somewhere else. He could have got it from, so there's not in this town, but he could have got it from out of town. Comes along with Rav Moshe. We cannot finish this shiur without mentioning this Rav Moshe. The Rav Moshe, we all know that the heter of Rav Moshe hold, people say Rav Moshe was mati chalav akum. Not true. Rav Moshe says that our chalav is not chalav akum. Moshe can't be mati, something which the Mishnah asks. He says, our cholov is not cholov akum. Why? The answer is, comes along Rav Moshe and says, a massive chidush. Because even now, the Rav Moshe, I want this to be understood very clearly. He says, even though the minag is not like the pre-chadosh. So that means, if you ask Rav Moshe, there's no cholov tomei in the city, it's still forbidden. However, comes along, we have... The government has an authorization to give a knas, and a person can lose his license, and therefore, because of the fear of penalty, comes along Rav Moshe, and this is the chiddush, this is the controversial point of Rav Moshe, and says, it's not just the knowledge, it's as if we've seen it. Comes along Rav Moshe and says, knowledge is good enough. Knowledge is not good enough. I mean, you see from the fact that we hold that there's still a chashash of cholov, even though it's very far-fetched to get hold of cholov tomei, from the fact that it's not even available in the vicinity, it's more expensive, and we still pass it not like the pre-chodosh. But says Rav Moshe, a knas, if he's under threat of losing his license, or a monetary fine, that's as if we've seen it. And then Rav Moshe goes, the arichos of Rav Moshe and his tshuvas are not about cholov. They're going through shas, showing you how I can have a knowledge in my mind as if I've seen it. And one of his rayas is to have a person killed for doing znus. Do you mamish? Znus, as we know, is bi'a mamish. Do you have to see, do the alien have to see mamish kivim mechol b'vashvaferes as chazal? They don't have to see kivim, they don't have to see the act itself. They just have to see them being misnag, behaving like adulterous people. But you need to see znos in order to be mechayev a person misnag. So that's one of his rights, that there's some times where your knowledge, it's so clear in your mind, it's as if you've seen it. That's what Rav Moshe claims. On this, now this is very controversial, because we see people take risks. We see, if you ask me, what's more likely to happen? For me to start adding milk, which is more expensive and really difficult to get hold of, but maybe I can trick the Jew. What's more likely, that or, you know what, I'm going to gain plenty, but you know what, I might end up a risk. I might be caught out. I don't understand, and this is how can Rav Moshe say that a chashash of a knas is, he says it's not knowledge. It's as if I see it with my eyes. That means it's Yisrael. That's what I was saying. Rav Moshe said it's Yisrael. We are watching the guy, because since he's going to get a knas, it's as if we're seeing the guy. Anyway, this is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was accepted in America. And in many places they do rely on this Rav Moshe, but I just kedai to know, it's in the sheets, the Chazon Ish held like the Pri Chodosh. And the Chazon Ish used this heter of Rav Moshe, but not like Rav Moshe. He says, Knas, it's true. Rav Moshe, you are right in Knas, the fear of being punished and having my license revoked, but you know what that makes it? That makes it like there's no Cholov available. That means it only stims, the Chazon Ish is masking to the Pesach of Rav Moshe, but only because we go like the Pri Chodosh. The Chazon Ish goes like the Pri Chodosh, says if there's no Chol of Tomei available, then there's no Chashash. Therefore, if there's a Knas, even if there is Chol of Tomei, that's the equivalent. So there are opinions that right now, and I just want to say just a quick halacha lemaisa, if you're going to somebody who does drink Chol of Stam, relies on Rav Moshe, can you use his mugs? And Laniyaz Daiti, I think you can use his mugs, because a normal mug is klisheni, right? If you add, the normal way of making coffee, let's say you make making coffee, then you add the hot water onto the coffee, and then you add milk, that's a klisheni. It's not going to be boilea the cholom. Even if you put the milk at the beginning, you've only got an iroi, you've got iroi klirishin, which is hot water hitting the milk and being mavliyah. According to the Ramah in Hichas Basa V'Cholov, it cannot even be mavliyah. So I think even if, and the Olam HaTorah is machmi in Cholov Akum, even if a person's machmi, I think there's a lot of room to be able to use the kalim, to be able to use the mugs of somebody who's not machmid on Cholov Akum. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Go.